called and chosen, the Apostle Peter. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Peter and Andrew, sons of Jonas, John chapter 21, verse 15, were fishermen by the Sea of Galilee. Not far from them was another pair of brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee, Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, and his wife Salome. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 explains that these two pairs of brothers were partners, so they knew each other. According to Luke's narrative, the four fishermen had labored unsuccessfully through the night. Their boats were ashore in the morning, and Jesus used one of their ships to push off a bit from land to address a crowd of listeners. Following his address, he advised Peter to launch out further and let down his net. They were blessed with such a large catch of fish that their net broke. They called on their partners to assist, and both ships were filled with so many fish that they began to sink. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. After this remarkable event, all four were invited by Jesus to follow him, which they did. This was not their first encounter with Jesus. All four of these disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, had initially met Jesus as disciples of John the Baptist. That narrative is in John chapter 1, verses 34 through 43. But evidently from the draught of fishes forward, they ceased their regular fishing business and served Jesus. Peter's personality. Peter was an active person. When again on the Sea of Galilee, after the resurrection of Jesus, perceptive John said, "It is the Lord." Whereupon the quick-acting Peter jumped into the sea to swim to shore where Jesus was. John chapter 21, verse 7. When Mary Magdalene returned from the empty tomb with news that Jesus was missing, Peter and John ran to the tomb. The younger John arrived first and thoughtfully looked into the tomb, whereas upon his arrival, the more direct Peter entered immediately. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. When Jesus spoke about going to Jerusalem, where death awaited him, the aggressive Peter began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord." Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. This quality of character also spurred Peter to be a leading force in presenting the truth about Jesus to others. On the day of Pentecost, the 12 disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Bystanders in the crowd assembled at the temple misjudged them, supposing they were full of wine. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter boldly stepped forward and said, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." He explained that what they were hearing and seeing was of the Holy Spirit. He proceeded spontaneously to explain the death and resurrection of Jesus. So compelling was his address that when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Whereupon, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 41. Later, in Acts 3, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and finding a man lame from birth asking for alms, Peter addressed the man and healed him. In doing so, he caught the attention of another crowd and again spontaneously addressed them with a message about Jesus that continued through the close of Acts 3. It included one of the most memorable texts about Jesus being received in heaven until the times of restoration. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. As a result, even more believers were added to the brethren in Jerusalem. Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. If we assume as many women, the numbers increased from 3,000 at Pentecost to about 10,000, a stunning opening of the gospel message through a deeply motivated apostle. The third and ninth hours. These two experiences are a stirring opening to the work of the gospel age. They may also have some prophetic meaning. When Jesus was crucified, he was placed on the cross at the third hour and died at the ninth hour, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. by our count of hours. Jesus was placed on the cross to release Jewish believers from the curse of the law, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22. His subsequent death was for Adam and all his descendants, thus also encompassing the Gentile world. Peter's speech at 9 a.m. on the day of Pentecost was addressed only to Jewish listeners and believers. Soon afterward, at the temple, Peter's healing of the man, lame from his mother's womb, at 3 p.m., reminds us of Adam and his posterity, born in sin, including the entire Gentile world. The 6 hours on the cross, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., remind us of the 6,000 years of sin and death for this world, for which Jesus died to redeem us. The hours also corresponded to the time of the morning and evening sacrifices in the temple. Resistance and persecution. Peter's second public address, recorded in Acts 3, led to active oppression by the Jewish leadership. The priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees were grieved that they taught in the temple and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, Acts chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. They then arrested Peter and John and kept them through the night, Acts chapter 4, verse 3. Those who came to rebuke them the next day were Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, Acts chapter 4, verse 6, two Jewish leaders who had confronted Jesus after his arrest in Gethsemane. As they appeared before these and others assembled at the time, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man, the one formerly lame, stand before you whole. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. As he continued, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They could not deny the miracle, for the man they had healed was above 40 years old, verse 21. So they threatened the two prisoners and ordered them to cease their teaching in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Peter and John replied, We cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Verses 20 and 21. Peter's influence continues. Acts chapter 5 shows that persecution increased, expanding to other disciples besides Peter and John. For by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. However, Peter still had a prominent role. They brought forth the sick into the streets, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. So persecution continued. On this occasion, they arrested more disciples and again commanded them to stop their public work. Among the Jewish leaders was Gamaliel, a Pharisee, who cautioned the council against acting too strongly against the new movement, noting that if God did not favor it, it would fade away, but otherwise they would be fighting against God. Verse 39. The council took this good advice, but not without first beating the disciples. Verse 40. As a result, the disciples were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Verses 41 and 42. Recall that in Acts 4, the number of Christians had increased to perhaps 10,000. Acts chapter 5, verse 14 affirms that this growth continued. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That is, multitudes above and beyond the previous number. This was a remarkable spread of the Christian faith. Many participated in this growth, but Peter was an inspiring leader. A change of name. It is interesting that in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2, chapter 65, verse 15, and Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, we have a reference to a new name for those called to the heavenly realm. This apparently refers to a descriptive identification given to the saints in glory, relating to aspects of their characters and experiences. Peter received a new name when Andrew introduced him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. John chapter 1, verse 42. Jesus knew at the outset, through the Spirit of God, that Peter would be a leading light among the disciples. From Pentecost forward, he was. Peter was disposed to express his faith earnestly. In this, we have an example to encourage us, who are not naturally as earnest, to move forward in faith and act upon it. Other disciples of Jesus followed Peter's lead and became remarkable testimonies for Christ. Acts chapter 6 begins with the selection of 7 deacons to assist in serving the large and growing fellowship of Christians. Among those 7, the first one named was Stephen, Acts chapter 6 verse 5, and the second was Philip. Both were gifted speakers, earnest in their opportunities. Stephen was gifted and effective in his public testimony for Christ, so much so that he was brought before the council of Jewish leaders and accused. Acts 7 records a lengthy presentation by Stephen before the council, longer than any previous speech recorded in Acts. He continued until, in verse 54, his hearers were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him, leading to his stoning as the first Christian martyr. Saul of Tarsus, present on the occasion, but not one who threw stones, in some ways became a replacement for the earnest service of Stephen. Later, the deacon Philip was used to help the Ethiopian eunuch. Still later, Philip's 4 daughters evidently were also gifted presenters. The same man had 4 daughters, virgins, who did prophesy, speak. Acts chapter 21, verse 9. James, the elder brother of John, was also productive and earnest in his ministry. For later, when King Herod, Herod Agrippa I, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Before this, Acts chapter 11, verse 28 mentioned a dearth, famine, in the days of Claudius Caesar, who reigned from 41 to 54 AD, suggesting that the death of James, recorded in chapter 12, was not earlier than 41 AD. Acts 12 concludes with the death of this Herod, which occurred in 44 AD. It appears that James's martyrdom occurred that year, which would be 11 years after the death of Jesus in 33 AD. That this James was targeted first suggests that he also had an active public influence on behalf of Christ. The fact that his death pleased the Jews, Acts chapter 12, verse 3, implies that he was also earnest, gifted, and well-known for his influence. Herod next took Peter as prisoner, intending the same fate for him. However, Peter was released by an angelic intervention. His ministry was spared and allowed to continue for years to come. Presuming that Christian reports about his demise in Rome are correct, Peter died by crucifixion. This is consistent with what the Apostle John records of Jesus' words concerning how Peter would end his course. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. By the time the Apostle John, a good friend of Peter, wrote these words, Peter's service would have ended. Stephen, James, Peter, Paul. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was slain by Jewish leaders. James, the first apostolic martyr, was slain by King Herod, a Roman ruler. Peter was miraculously released. Herod was subsequently stricken, and Paul was later stoned but survived near the close of his first missionary journey. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. We observe by comparison that the main enemy of Christians in the first period of the church was the Jewish leadership. Matthew chapter 23, verses 34 and 35. The main enemy of the church in the second period was the Roman Empire, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. In the third period of the church, the saints were relieved of intense persecution when Constantine, whose mother was Christian, ousted other pagan rulers and took control of the Roman Empire. In this sense, the iron gate of Roman persecution yielded. In the fourth period of the church, Thyatira, came the most dire troubles of the church under papacy, Jezebel, where millions of Christians lost their lives. Perhaps the noble examples above, Stephen, James, Peter, Paul, are prophetic markers of what would happen as the church developed through the first 4 phases of the gospel age. Stephen and James were killed, corresponding to the first and second periods of the age. Peter was spared, marking the temporary end of persecution. Paul was stoned, pointing to renewed persecution under papal authority. Footnote 1. That Salome was the mother of John and James is indicated by comparing Matthew chapter 27, verse 56, with Mark chapter 15, verse 20. Matthew writes, "Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children," Mark says. "There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome." Footnote 2. There was another pair of brothers among the 12, named James and Jude. They are the authors of the epistles of James and Jude. In Mark chapter 15, verse 40, this James is referred to as James the Less, perhaps because he was shorter than James, the brother of John. This James the Less was the apostle who served as a pastoral leader for the church at Jerusalem. It was this James who chaired the council at Jerusalem respecting Gentile converts. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Acts chapter 15, verse 13. This James and Jude are also referred to in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 as relatives of Jesus. "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" The term brethren is evidently used here in a loose sense to mean relatives. In this respect, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 19, "Other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother." Footnote 3. The narrative in John chapter 1, verses 34 to 43, does not specify that James was present on this occasion. However, as the brothers Andrew and Peter were present, and as the second disciple mentioned in John chapter 1, verse 37 was evidently the apostle John, and as all four were business partners, it is likely that James, John's brother, was also present.